Thank you, Adam. That was lovely, as usual. And we're now open the speaking queue, shall we? If I can get into it. Yeah, here we are. Can I make the first one then, if no one else is going to start? Just that your conspiracy theories sound a lot more interesting, I must say, than any that I've heard of from the social media stuff, because there seems to be an enjoyment in cooking up stories on there, which, as you've said, can't possibly be verified. But I think people let loose to their limited imaginations. Again, as you said, in a world in which it's difficult to find an explanation for all that happens and all that is going on all the time, I feel that there's an awful lot of lost people or troubled people in the world now, certainly in these advanced countries, who have got no means of expressing themselves other than this awful social media, which seems to me to be stirring up an awful lot more trouble than there needs to be, even with what we're having to deal with anyway. I will stop now and see if anyone else wants to come in, please. Lovely. Thank you, Howard. Go ahead.
This was very apposite in a way for me, Adam, because I was in my local ironmongers the other day. How's that relevant? To buy some white spirit. And I noticed on the counter there was some magazines. And the title of those magazines, they're quite nice, colourful magazines, was Brighter Times. And across the top, it said the magazine for an alternative world. I thought that looks interesting. I picked it up, had a flick through it. It said £1 on the cover, so I thought I'd get it. And I offered £1 to the proprietor together with to pay for it together with the white spirit. And she said, "No, it's okay. It's free. Okay, it's free. It's free. I'll have it for free." Why was it free? I'm not sure. But anyway, I've sort of had a read of it, and unfortunately, it turns out to be sort of one of these conspiracy theory magazines, but I'd say conspiracy light, as they say, rather than heavy. Not like that thing that gets sort of published and found in various different places called The Light. But something rather sort of less heavy than that. And in the editorial, there's a couple of sentences which go as follows. I'll read this. It says, "The enlightened few, often called conspiracy theorists, are steadily growing in number across the globe as more and more people start to question what is going on around us and becoming more receptive to alternative narratives. Even hardened skeptics are becoming uncomfortable with the mainstream narrative. And for those of us who have already joined the dots, the future is no longer an uncertainty because we are only too fully aware of what is being mapped out by those who seek to control us." I thought that fitted in very well with some of the points you made, Adam, early on in your talk about people are looking at these things as an attempt to give meaning to a situation over which they have no control. It's sort of a form of helplessness in the face of these uncontrollable forces. The editorial ends with the following sentences: "The darker forces that seek to dominate us are absolutely terrified of one thing. They are terrified of more people waking up and uniting together to say, enough is enough." Just a comment there.
No, I mean that's I mean what the conspiracy theorists are trying to do is to seek an explanation of what they experience. It's I mean I'd say we and they are competing of an explanation as to what happens in the world, and they see what's happening. They personalize, like I said, and attribute it to some powerful group. So I mean that's sort of understandable, but I mean when you examine it, it doesn't hold up. You know, for the reasons I've mentioned. I mean, how could there be a secret conspiracy? Which how could such a conspiracy, in fact, you know, remain a secret? But I mean, the group you seem to have come across is more, if you like, offering more hope than some of the others. Because if the world is controlled by some all powerful occult group, what can you do about it? You know, what can you do about it? You know, it just leads to helplessness. You just have to. That's the meaning you attribute to life and what goes on. And you know, as I say, it doesn't an incentive for people to you know, to organize and do something about. I was once at we had a stall outside. Outside Brixton Station, where there were all sorts of people handing out leaflets, and there was one group of people who were organising a protest against the bank. And one of the people at our store said, "Oh yeah, the bankers control the world." So I said to him, "Well, why don't you go over there and protest to this group, reclaim the streets or something like that?" "Oh no, I can't do that. They'll find out and they'll do something to me." So I mean, in the end, these theories lead to to pacifism. You know, passivism. They don't help do anything about it.
Thank you, Adam. Is anyone else wanting to make a contribution? Okay, Joel, thank you. Go ahead. Joel, I'm not sure, we're not hearing you.
Right. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, that's better, thank you.
I suppose this is a question to sort of, any party member, really, who comes into contact with somebody who has conspiracy theories, and what their reply is when we sort of rationally say, well, the problem is not a conspiracy, but the fact that we live under capitalism. I mean, what experience do party members have when they come into contact with people like that?
Did you want an answer from Adam, Joel?
Well, yeah, or anybody. Yeah.
Well, I gave you one example of this person who thought the bankers who controlled the world, but you thought you couldn't do anything about it. So he wasn't even prepared to take part in the demonstration outside a bank. But I mean, they're really nasty people who think the Jews control the world, people that think that, I don't know, the Illuminati control the world needn't necessarily be, you know, vicious people. They're making a mistaken identification of what does control what goes on. I mean, they're personalizing. Whether we can get anywhere with them, I don't know. I wouldn't have thought so. But
I think the problem is when you get into, actually, I haven't had many conversations with people with those views, but I think when you get into conversation with them and you obviously put forward sort of rational ideas, sensible ideas, that there's a phrase that people use that. If you've got one conspiracy, why not have another one, and that sort of thing? And it becomes, you can end up getting off the topic of, like, well, the problem is capitalism, and it's like you should be organising this way instead of trying to sort of combat some alleged sort of secret organisation.
I mean, some of them do have political views, and in fact, because they denounce a new world order and cosmopolitanism, they're actually in practice supporting the national state. They're saying it's being controlled by some foreign outside forces, which shouldn't happen. But others, mainly these new sort of religion people, sometimes welcome the idea of a world society. So I mean they're sort of divided on this. So it depends which group you're arguing with.
Yeah, I suppose it's like any of these organizations who have these certain views. You'll still get divisions and like what they should be striving for, or who is the enemy. I suppose in a way it's just like, yeah.
I mean, personally, I always plead guilty and say, yes, we do stand for a new world order. And that, of course, winds them up. But I mean, it's what is wrong with the idea of Cosmopolis? You know, what Cosmopolis means a world city. You know, I said earlier that the all men are brethren was a acceptable slogan, but of course, it isn't, because it's just men and brothers. But I mean, we came up with quite a good slogan, if you like, in the 60s or 70s: "One world, one people." I mean, that's the argument that we would put against them. But of course, the ones I'm thinking of in particular, who think that the new world order is a threat to the national state, I think they would be pretty hopeless cases. I said the other lot who have religious ideas, everybody is part of the same family. I mean, that's a different proposition.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Joel. Howard, you can come next, I think.
Yeah. Just to go back a moment in answer to Joel's question, I think these people are ones we're unlikely to get anywhere with at all. And if we've got sort of energies to use on putting our case, really, those energies should be directed elsewhere. We can comment on these people. We can have articles in our publications and so on, pointing out the error of their ways. But it really isn't very useful for us to try and debate with them. We're going to debate. We need to debate with people who are more likely to be in some way attracted to the kind of thing we're trying to say. They're not.
I think we have Alan or Janet next, please.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Thank you, Adam. I'd like to know your thoughts on the influence of the World Economic Forum, particularly in light of their Young Leaders Program.
Oops, we've lost you, Alan.
No, I turned off. I finished the question.
Sorry. Okay.
I mean, there are people who think the bankers control the world, or the Bilderberg group does, and the people who meet in Davos every year. I mean, the world leaders, if you like, political and economic, do meet, but I don't think we can say that they decide wars or decide things. They just sort of coordinate, if you like, the way of running capital. I don't think there is anything suspicious about the Bilderberg group or similar groups like that. They are what they are on the what they appear to be meetings of politicians and industrialists. No doubt they discuss the state of the world, but they can't do anything much about it. That would be my view on that type of argument.
Okay. Anyone else? I think Howard's. Shall we have John Cummins next, and then Howard after?
Yes, definitely John. I was just going to respond to that question, but yes, definitely John. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, John.
Okay, I was just going to point out that quite a number of conspiracy stories have persisted over the years. One of the most famous or infamous ones, perhaps, was the assassination of the Kennedys. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. There was some kind of conspiracy to do away with them. But it shouldn't surprise anyone because of the history of the Kennedy family. They used organised crime, so-called, and organised labour to get themselves into office. So they used these influential forces to help them. And then what did they do? They conducted inquiries into them, Senate committees or congressional committees to look into abuses. Not exactly the way to win friends and influence people in your favour. So it certainly didn't surprise me, looking back, that the Kennedys were done away with because they welched in all their deals. It's just bad for business the way they behaved. And then nowadays we have the QAnon people. And by the way, I don't think we should call them conspiracy theories because that's to give these notions a bit more strength than they actually have, because they're not even good enough to be called hypotheses. They're just stories. They're not even, you know, a conjecture in mathematics would have some at least prima facie evidence. So you can't even use the word conjecture. It really is a fanciful story, some sort of mythical nonsense. But there's a woman with a hyphenated name. I think she's called Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she's, to put it politely, away with the birds as far as this QAnon nonsense goes. And she's one of the members of the United States Congress, quite a vicious, nasty person. So I think it's no accident that a lot of these so-called conspiracy theories or conspiracy stories are believed and told and promoted by people who are Christian nationalists. It's all part of, you know, they'll use anything, whether they do it consciously or not. They basically end up using anything to beat up anything that smacks of progress. They're just hostile to anything. They see themselves as victims because they're not being afforded the same privileges that Christianity once had. So Christianity, Christian nationalism in the United States and this QAnon thing has become really quite virulent.
Okay, thank you, John.
The class war group refers to them as conspiraloons, which is probably better than calling them conspiracy theorists. We can call them conspiracists. But I don't want to suggest that there aren't conspiracies, particular conspiracies under capitalism. Obviously, somebody did conspire to, even if it was only one or two people, somebody did conspire to assassinate the Kennedys and other assassinations that take place. I mean, these things are done in secret, but I don't know why people would want to believe in that particular type of conspiracy, unless it's linked, you know, once again to some shadowy group, controlling the world and doing these things. But of course, the in the news recently, the notorious Alex Jones was fined a huge amount for, you know, denying that something had happened. But of course, you can ask the question whether he believes in all this stuff, because there's a market there for selling things to people who do believe in these things. I mean, somebody like him could well be taking advantage of this to make money. But once again, the audience, the victims are going to be people who trying to find some meaning to what's going on, and they lap up all this stuff. I mean, I agree with Howard that ultimately we can't do much about people like that. Though some socialists have been known to fall for some conspiracy theories. I'm thinking of a prominent member on our Facebook page.
Thank you, Adam. Howard, did you want to come again on this?
Yeah, just in relation to what Alan was, the question Alan asked about the World Economic Forum. Again, by coincidence, there's an article on that in the magazine I was talking about before, Brighter Times. And I'll just read you a bit of what this article says to get an idea of, you know, the view that organisations like this will take of the WEF. It says, the World Economic Forum is an organisation with enormous influence and power that uses fear, lies, disinformation, censorship and bad science to impose a nightmare, quote, sustainable future in which economic activity is reduced in the name of stopping climate change. WEF founder and executive chairman Klaus Schwab has boasted about how it infiltrates governments at national and local levels, thereby acting as a Trojan horse worldwide. The WEF conspires not only with governments, but also with the world's financial and central banking elite to impose a tyrannical lockdown on all of our ancient freedoms and rights. The WEF blueprint for our future can be seen in modern-day China with its social credit system. And the article then goes on to attack Prince Charles for becoming the mouthpiece of what it calls an unelected and unaccountable corporate body, which wishes to impose outright tyranny upon the world. That's all.
Good. I mean, I don't think that's not true. I mean, they meet, you know, once a year and have done, and this man Schwab has been the initiator of it. But I think it's just, as I said, a meeting of politicians and industrialists who discuss world affairs. They haven't got any power or any, they can't impose anything. Or, you know, there's no executive.
Sorry, I wasn't supporting that. I was just reading out what this article says.
No, it's typical of what people do say about, you know, Davos, the Bilderberg Group, and others. But I mean, I think they are what they seem to be on the surface. You know, I mean, they're more likely to be secret things going on. You know, with the secret services of the nation states. You know.
I think there probably is these secret ideas going on between the nation states, because every now and again you get some sort of evidence of it, don't you, with the assassination of different people, or somebody just in the last couple of days who I think was in opposition to Putin, falling out of a hospital window. And how could that happen? I don't have any conspiracy theories. I feel sorry for the man, but it's it might well have been to get him out of the picture. Okay, anyone else wanting to speak? No names. John, again, please.
Just to mention a story that I heard during the week. I know a lot of people say, oh, I heard something. And when they say I heard something, they report it as though it's the so-called gospel truth. And if it's really quite silly stuff, you really become quite impatient with people that heard things. But this is something that I heard, and obviously I don't have any credence in it, really. But this conspiracy story seems to suggest that all the lockdowns that took place during the pandemia were really a dry run for a more controlled use of this to keep greater control over the population, and that we're going to be locked down more and more. To what purpose? I'm not really sure. It seemed a rather incoherent. You know, it made no sense even in its own terms, this story. I don't know if anyone else has heard this. I'm not sure whether it's meant to be the world government, so much hated by the Christian nationalists in America, or whether it's just governments more locally, more nationally.
No, I mean, it is true that there was a sort of revival of, well, we can't call them conspiracy theories, of conspiraloons as a result of the pandemic and the lockdowns, and people were refusing to be vaccinated on the grounds. This was some plot, I think, thought up by Bill Gates to implant things into us, which would allow the authority of the secret or him to control us. I mean, I've met people that did believe that and refused to get vaccinated. So in this particular example, it could have a harmful effect, but.
Quite a fearful effect, isn't it, if people won't have vaccinations in which we need to trust and have to and have done for many years now, even though sometimes the medical world does make mistakes, overall, vaccination is a way of saving many, many lives, and it seems awfully sad that that should be one of the things that gets included in these attacks on rational thought and rational behaviour. Hello, anyone else?
It does, I suppose, as a bit of a reaction, against the system, in that people are not prepared to believe what the government tells them. But I mean, you need to assess these things rationally. Sometimes. Not everything the government says is necessary. Is necessarily false, but these people don't trust the government or don't trust the authorities. But I mean,
In the gap, I could tell you about conspiracy theorist that I met, a carer who was coming into help look after my husband Joe when he was towards his end, and she was a really nice person, or seemed so, and really good with what she had to do, and kept me entertained as well some of the time. She was quite a jolly one, and then I learned that she believed the earth was flat. She was a Christian, and she really, really, really advocated this flat earth theory, and how you could go up to a very, very high hill, and if you looked out, you would see the earth curving. So I said, I think you've got your figures a little bit wrong. But she was also quite religious, and I said, well, I don't believe in any religions, which rather quietened her, and we avoided those subjects in the future. But here was a woman who was driving around in a nice little car and showing me how to use a smartphone and organising her personal life very efficiently, it seemed, and yet talking about the flat earth. And nothing balanced, nothing tied up, and I couldn't understand how she could get there.
But actually, whether the earth is flat or round doesn't make much difference to people's everyday lives. So I suppose they can hold that point of view, and it wouldn't stop her getting on with her life. Though, I can a similar story. When I was working in Luxembourg, there was an institution there called Eurocontrol, which was training air traffic controllers, part of the sky. And some people from Saudi Arabia there, and these were air traffic controllers, and the people who were from there believed that the Earth was flat because that's what the Quran said. I don't know whether that would make I don't know whether they went away with that conclusion or not. But I mean, if you're an air traffic controller, it will matter whether the Earth is flat or round, but it won't matter for your everyday life.
Yeah. Okay. Paddy, you're there now, I see.
Yeah. Thanks. I really enjoyed that, Adam. I was quite fascinated by what you had to say about the Illuminati. I had no idea they were a real thing. I presumed they would just be made up. But from the sound of it, I was thinking, crikey, where do I join? They sound great. I wonder if all these conspiracy theorists know all this history, or whether they would simply discount everything you say, Adam, as fake news or something. I don't know. That wasn't the point of my question. But you mentioned that, I don't know, you said possibly a bit carelessly, capitalism is not organised at all. But, I mean, you know, that's not really people's impression, is it? You know, we've looked at the World Economic Forum, but, you know, think about GCHQ, the NSA, you know, all these sort of secret sort of agencies that are well known about, you know, mysteries and secrets are at the core of most film and TV stories. You know, people love all that stuff. I suppose what I'm thinking of is, it's not at all hard to understand. Well, to my mind, it's not hard to understand why people are attracted to conspiracy theories. I mean, you know, there's always a kernel of truth to these conspiracies in the sense that, you know, there are real life conspiracies that have been, you know, even the argument, well, you know, you couldn't expect thousands of people to keep quiet for years and years over something. I think somebody mentioned that, well, the mousetrap in London has been running for over 60 years, the longest running play in the world. And all the audiences kept the denouement of that quiet for all that time. So that would have been into the several hundreds of thousands of people. I was a bit disappointed to see that the whole plot is on Wikipedia, if you want to spoil it for yourself. But, you know, people can keep secrets. I mean, so I'm not sure that's a hugely strong argument, but although I do generally agree with it. Thinking about film and TV made me think about this. Have you heard of people, the Red Pill people? These are sort of hate groups who've hijacked this idea of, from The Matrix, from the film The Matrix, the idea of the Red Pill and the Blue Pill. So the Blue Pill is you take that if you want a life of unalloyed bliss and ignorance, and you take the Red Pill if you want to find out reality. And these hate groups have hijacked this Red Pill idea to make it look as if they're the only ones who have real access to the reality, and all the rest of us are living in a sort of deluded wonderland of ignorance and bliss. And I think there's something very attractive to a lot of people about the idea of being on the inside of a bit of supposed knowledge. So attractive, in fact, that they don't particularly feel that they any great urgency to apply rational or scientific critical thinking to it. You know, just the pleasure of being on the inside of this is enough. And you're getting... And the internet has been an absolute boon for sort of secret societies and people secretly belonging to things and people who are secretly trolls and this sort of thing. It's the real dark side of the internet, which has led to sort of, you know, fetid little groups like 4chan, where they sort of, you know, they egg each other on until somebody goes out and murders a bunch of people and this sort of thing. It's quite hideous. Leaving them aside, I was thinking, well, you know, if you were to look at this quite dispassionately, you would look at the history of the world and you would see, you know, a history of oppression by a tiny elite. I mean, just point to any point in history, practically anywhere in the world, and you'll see exactly the same thing. And what would a normal kind of average person conclude from that? I think that a reasonable conclusion would be that it's a coherent and consistent plan that has been carried out right through history in secret, of such devilish complexity that it actually explains every war, every disaster, every shortage that would otherwise look completely random and inexplicable. And bear in mind that statistically people are actually drawn to patterns, and they struggle in studies to believe in random events. Even if they're told that they're random, they still don't believe it. So for all these reasons, I think it's really easy to understand why people are drawn to conspiracy theories. I agree with what John Cummings said. They shouldn't be called theories at all. They should be called conspiracy fantasies. These are conspiracy fantasists. But I do understand why they're successful. In fact, I wonder why they're not more successful than they are. And I can only assume it's because of the general penetration of sort of rationality, scientific ideas, logical thinking through the population as a whole, that these things aren't more widespread than they are. But the bigger question, and I'll stop now, is not so much why they're so successful, but why we're so unsuccessful. After all, what we're putting forward is a kind of conspiracy, if you like. It's an open conspiracy, but it does explain why a tiny elite have ruled, controlled practically every known society through all recorded history. It does explain that. Why is no one listening to us? Why is it that these obscure, unprovable fantasies are perpetually more popular than our explanation? Don't know. Thought I'd throw that in there.
I think, as I said at the beginning, conspiracy fantasies, we have to now call them, and socialists are trying to explain the same experiences. I mean, you just mentioned the fact that there's always been a few people at the top in society, at least since the dissolution of primitive communism. But I mean, there are wars, there are slumps, there are epidemics, and I would tend to agree with you. At the first glance, it's easier to believe that these are organized by people than that they are a result of impersonal economic and historical forces. But once you go into it in more detail, I mean, you're talking about. I mean, the main objection I would think, logical objection or rational objection, is that you couldn't keep a secret. You wouldn't be able to keep a secret. I mean, as a point of fact, the Illuminati, the historical Illuminati, were a secret society, and they were plotting. But I mean, they people left them, people fell out with them, and they spilled the beans. And that hasn't happened with any of these other theories. You know, I mean, you can't tell, who they are. I mean, they could be anybody, because there's no evidence either way.
Joe, I think you can come next.
Hi, Paddy.
No, you're next in the list, Joel, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, it was just something that Paddy sort of said about you've got a potent case for the world to run better. Why isn't anybody or enough people listening to us? I mean, sort of like you said, the conspiracy theory thing seems to be growing. And is it a similar thing to sort of people who have reformist ideas who sort of say, well, socialism's a good idea, but we need to do something now? I mean, does it fall into that sort of category? We shouldn't call them conspiracy, but people have these views anyhow. Some of them have enough of a sort of political idea of what's going on.
Adam, do you want to come back on that?
Oh, Paddy could come
oh,
in.
Oh, sorry, Paddy, yeah.
Yeah, okay, let Paddy, yeah.
Well, my first thought, Joel, is that the sort of people who kind of favour the more immediate reformist thing sort of measures tend to be the more kind of rational people in society, the people who sort of weigh out the pros and cons, you know, the kind of people, you know, we talk to all the time, you know, vote Labour or, you know, they're part of road protests or maybe they're part of a strike or something, you know, people who see an immediate need and say, right, okay, well, what we need to do is this. Now, we don't necessarily agree with those people, you know, because we think there's a bigger picture than that. So I think that they're not really thinking in the same way that we are, and they're not really thinking in the same way that the conspiracy theorists are. There's a kind of weird parallel between how we look at the world and how the conspiracy theorists look at the world. You know, there are a lot of points of comparison, which I think sort of, if you like, kind of normal people don't do. You know, they don't look at the world in terms of a big historical sweep for a start. They look at it in terms of, you know, the last few months or the last couple of years or the last 10 years at most. You know, they don't tend to think about how the small elite are in control. You know, that's something that we think about, something conspiracy theorists think about. You know, I just think it's kind of strange that there's this sort of polarity between us on one side, conspiracy theorists on the other, and we're trying to understand, you know, why they think like they do. But I think, you know, for all our differences, I think we probably got a lot more in common with them than we have with your sort of average, you know, reformist-minded member of the public.
Yeah, I mean, Howard said earlier, I mean, or maybe it was yourself, I mean, I can understand why they have these views, this sort of frustration that they feel that they're not in control and somebody's pulling the strings. I know it's gone off the subject slide, but I know when Manchester, when we're out sort of in sort of party work, I mean, we come across this group who are adamant that that Cuba's a socialist country, and I mean, it's like it gets to the point with them that there's no point in going any further, because it's just like you looked on as being crazy for thinking that Cuba isn't a socialist country. Which is sad. Thank you.
Well, I mean, in theory, if you meet somebody that thinks Cuba is a socialist country, I mean, that can be settled rationally by defining what the terms are. We can say, okay, if Cuba is a socialist country, then I'm not a socialist. So in theory, like Paddy was saying, people like that might be open to rational arguments in a way that conspiraloons won't be.
Yeah.
Okay. I think Mike Foster next, please.
Thanks. Yeah. Interesting stuff. I think Joel, Paddy, and Adam have already sort of covered and sort of answered what I was going to ask already. But I suppose maybe I'm not convinced that our mindset is too similar to those of sort of conspiracists, is that a word? Because the impression I get, and it's a bit of a generalisation, is that while our analysis of society comes with a, you know, sort of a built-in solution to capitalism's problems, I'm not sure how much emphasis conspiracists put on a solution. I get the impression that their mindset is more about getting some sort of enjoyment out of exploring the perceived conspiracy, mystery, secrets, and getting a, you know, that warm glow of having, you know, sort of hidden knowledge, as they would see it. So I get the impression it's much more individualistic as a sort of a mindset, whereas you know our stance is, you know, relies on, you know, cooperation, and is more outward looking. So that they seem, as I say, I'm probably generalising a bit, but yeah, they seem sort of quite different mindsets in, if you look at it in that way. Yeah. Cheers. Thanks.
No, I think you got a good point there, Mike. Good point.
Hey, have you both finished? John Cummins.
Yes, just something that I wanted to add concerning the flat earthers. Now, quite often, I mean, for a long time, I just thought flat earthers, well, there might be an occasional person somewhere in the world that just didn't know enough about anything and was just so horribly ignorant that they just thought that maybe the earth is flat. But quite often, the flat earthers have subsequently discovered also have another agenda. Like, I heard one, I can't remember his name, but I'm sure he could be easily found on YouTube. And there was a scientist who took it upon himself to argue with him. And, I mean, it really offended this scientist. But unfortunately, all his scientific knowledge was no match for this guy's willful ignorance, I think. I think it was actually willful ignorance. Because the scientist just became angry and the flat earther seemed to enjoy winding this guy up. So the attempt to actually provide facts and, you know, deal with it on a rational basis just was pointless, which made me think that the flat earther was really just an attention seeker for perhaps his other agenda, which was that people hadn't been to the moon at all. You couldn't prove that they'd been there. And have you seen these stars? He seemed to entertain the notion that a star could fall to Earth, despite the fact that a star is known to be, even the smallest of stars are known to be massively many times the mass of the Earth. Just ridiculous notions. Now, I don't know if this guy was just being deliberately pernicious or what his agenda was. I suspect he's some kind of attention seeker. Perhaps he's able to make money out of these YouTube videos that he makes. I don't know. But that was just something that I saw, which was quite alarming, because after all, for thousands of years, we've known that the Earth is a globe. This is not a new thing, that there's a myth perpetrated that it wasn't until the late 15th century that we suddenly discovered, oh, you keep going that way and then you can finally get from going in a western direction, you can end up going east. How does that work out? Oh, the world's round. You know, as if it wasn't discovered until Columbus, that mythical notion. I mean, that's just complete and utter nonsense. So, as I say, I thought that the flat earthers hardly existed, but it seems that they're becoming increasingly popular. I mean, I don't think there's going to be millions of them, but you know, there's enough getting attention to it just waste people's time. While they're considering that, they're not considering the real world the way it actually is and what could be done about it.
Actually, that's a good point, John. I wish I'd picked up on that and talked to her about the party case and things like that, rather than shutting down the conversation too quickly, perhaps. Perhaps that's what we ought to learn to do, is to actually open up a subject rather than too quickly come in with something emphatically in disagreement with them, which doesn't give anyone any chance to expand. Though I think I think your phrase willful ignorance is a good one, because I do think it's probably the case with a lot of people. They will be frightened probably to have an open discussion about something, because it undermines their own sense of self, I feel, because they're if you shake the foundations of their ideas too roughly, where would they go? Because they're not going to agree with what us in particular, because that's rather a big thing for them to take on in one conversation. So they are closing their minds down to anything that suggests that they are really, really very, very wrong. I don't know if there's anyone else wanting to talk.
Just to take up something that John said, I think that the internet does make a difference, because people can do YouTubes and blogs and so on, and they get paid by the number of people that visit their site. So it pays to say something outrageous in order to attract people. But I mean, that's quite different from the person you met who presumably hold the views more sincerely than somebody that's just saying outrageous things in order to attract people to click on their site, and then they get paid for the the advertising that's on it as well. So I think the internet has probably helped sustain some of some of these ideas.
Yeah, the internet seems to be making everything more and more confused, it seems. Oh, sorry, Joe, you're back now. Would you like to start again?
Yeah, it's just something you said, Janet, regarding like the approach of you're talking to somebody as a conspiracist. I heard an interesting program on Radio 5 about a year back, and there was somebody on talking about how not to sort of like hit somebody over the head with a like full force, but be more listen to what they say and try and sort of have this sort of like, well, I understand how you feel, and not sort of like, I suppose, antagonize them, but they become even more entrenched. Is just to sort of listen to what they say and just try and put sort of arguments, which, like we've been saying, which are rational, not to sort of like attack them in such force that they become defensive and entrenched in the views.
Mm.
Thank you.
I've noticed Alan Johnston's been typing occasionally, but nothing has come through at all, so I don't know if there's a problem there. We haven't received anything on the speaking tube at all.
Yeah. Alan is an expert on the assassination of Kennedy, I think, but I don't know whether he can say that.
Sorry, Adam?
Alan is an expert on the assassination of Kennedy.
Oh, is he?
he's read all that stuff.
And the other one as well, in Chesapeake Bay, was it? The other one got... he's gone. Oh, there's Alan. Okay, Alan, go ahead, please.
Yes, Adam says, I've read quite a lot of theories on the JFK assassination and Lee Harvey Oswald. And I'm a member of a forum, mostly Americans. And strangely enough, I find that believers in a conspiracy are actually believers in multiple conspiracies. And presently, I'm engaged in a long exchange over COVID. And this is actually with people who deny that there was a conspiracy involving the JFK assassination, and who do believe that Lee Harvey Oswald did the assassination. But they deny this origins of COVID. They deny the benefits of lockdowns. mask facing even the vaccination programs. And I find it really a contradiction that there are anti-conspiracists who believe in their own conspiracies, and it comes down to actually politics. When you get into it, it's mostly right-wingers who are really involved in conspiracy theories, and they argue amongst themselves. The whole thing about COVID has been an anti-China campaign, a lab leak theory, which has been discredited over and over again. And it's this lack of understanding of the scientific method that science is a progressive, evolving approach. You come up with an idea and it's examined, it's investigated, and it's improved over and over again with more and more research. But what happens is that they get stuck in a rut. Speculation at the beginning of COVID, when we all admit that there was very little knowledge of what COVID was, and it was all had to be studied and examined. They get stuck in this early theories and they don't change their minds. They refuse to accept that there's been further investigation, further studies, further research that correct the mistaken misconceptions that were at the beginning. It's this politics that I find is the basis of a lot of conspiracists. Even though it's left and right conspiracists, it seems to be a unity of a political agenda going on, especially in America, when you've got conspiracies about CRT, critical race theories, that Black Lives Matters were a Marxist movement, that the FBI are actually a bunch of leftists, that Nancy Pelosi is a communist. And I just can't understand how rational people can accept such contradictions. I've done a lot of research into JFK, and Lee Harvey Oswald is indisputably the killer. And he was in part of no conspiracy. He was a lone nut. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for solving that then, Alan. Cheers. Yeah.
It's really a matter of looking at the evidence. What happens is, for conspiracists, is that they either ignore, neglect, or deny the evidence, and they go on old evidence that has been corrected. I think I wrote an article in the Socialist Standard about the photograph from in the backyard. It's been proved over and over again that it was not a fake photograph using up-to-date modern technology, but you still find the conspiracists said it's a fake photo. It's this cut and paste, pit face put onto the picture, etc. But what can you say? You can't deny, it can't accept evidence, the scientific evidence, the ballistic evidence. And the more and more it's been researched, the more and more the Warren Commission been proved to be correct. I don't want this to be about JFK, and I'm apologies, I missed the beginning of this meeting.
Is anyone else wanting to talk?
Just briefly on JFK, there's a lot could be said about it, but it's a topic that crops up from time to time. And I remember saying to people with whom I got rather frustrated that I'll just be grateful that they're dead. Doesn't really matter. they were supporting a system that didn't operate in our interests. So if people must assassinate somebody, let it be members of the ruling class. Not that I would recommend that, but you know, if they're going to assassinate somebody, let it be members of the ruling class. After all, they've had a nice life up until the point of assassination. Just a slightly frivolous thought.
Well, there's nothing wrong with frivolity now and again.
Another frivolous thought is, who killed JFK? Who cares?
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? No. I think the time has just gone 9 o'clock. Unless there is someone else wanting to speak, I suppose we can draw to a close now. Don't know if you want to wind up, Adam, or if there's any announcements, any information that we need to know, next meetings and that sort of thing.
Well, the next meeting has been done by Paddy. Perhaps he might be able to tell you what it's about.
Is that next Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, the provisional title at the moment is "How Do We Run the Future?" Just to be a bit cryptic.
I think they're going to have a subject like that at the central branch meeting on Sunday. I think a blueprint. Why haven't we got a blueprint? And I think Pat's going to give a bit of a talk to the six members of a central branch or something like that on Sunday. So. You should tie up your points of view together.
Thanks, Janet. Thanks very much. Thanks, Adam.
We're finishing off now, then, are we? Yes. Thank you very much, Adam. It was really interesting.